Tired of being frustrated and stressed with administrative tasks in your business? Proactive Payroll rocks payroll and provides relief. We handle your payroll needs simply and efficiently, allowing you more time to work on growing your business. We handle tax reporting and payments, direct deposits, benefit and worker comp reporting, and more. Locally owned and operated with over 30 years of payroll experience. We don't just process payrolls, we build relationships. Visit proactivepayroll.rocks or call 404-410-0031. Broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studio, located inside Digital Ignition, where North Atlanta startups take off. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. We're broadcasting live from the Digital Ignition building here in Alpharetta. I'm Mike Sabat alongside John Ray, Mr. Alpharetta himself. Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm great. You are on top of it today. You're doing it all.
I'm
missing Trey, our producer, and you're producing. You've got the lead in. I mean, you're going to be asking questions, taking pictures.
Yeah, triple duty. Trey is on location at a remote broadcast today, so you're stuck with me producing your show. Hopefully, I'll do half as well as him. But yeah, we'll be asking some questions, and we've got some great guests.
We do.
Here in the house. Joining us is the LinkedIn guy. You probably already know of him, Greg Burkhalter. Greg has been around, and he is the LinkedIn guy.
He's the guy.
You just say the LinkedIn guy. Everyone knows Greg.
Everybody knows Greg.
Also joining us is Jackie Davis. She's with Georgia State University Entrepreneurship and Innovation Institute. And also Brad Taylor with Taylor Built Brands. We're going to begin the show with our friend Greg. Greg, always a pleasure to see you.
Great to see you, Mike. John, how are you, sir?
Great to be with you.
Thanks
always,
for having me on the show.
Greg.
Thank you.
The LinkedIn guy. I'm going to ask you a question you've never, ever been asked, Greg. What do you do?
I have been asked that question before, and the answer is somewhat similar. Basically, what I help do is I help professionals define their personal brand and kind of work with them side by side to help develop a strategy to grow that brand. And thanks to all the recent changes on LinkedIn, I'm also the guy who goes out there and suffers through the pain for you and tells you what happened and gives you the shortcut on how to get around it and be the most effective on LinkedIn. That's what I do.
What do you say to that business guy out there that says LinkedIn? I mean, this social media stuff, really, I mean, how important is it?
Well, all I got to tell you is that Microsoft purchased LinkedIn a little over 2 years ago. And right now, anyone with a LinkedIn profile that thinks they're under the radar, they're not under the radar anymore. As we speak, Microsoft is taking your LinkedIn information and rolling it across every Microsoft Office product. We're talking about Outlook, SharePoint, Calendar. So in the future, when someone engages you inside of a Microsoft Office product, your LinkedIn profile is going to be there. So you better take it seriously. Your brand is always on in the Microsoft world.
Wow. So if I've got a crazy profile picture or something odd, then I better get that fixed. This afternoon, right?
Either that or you're going to be the center of jokes in the future.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about a little bit more about that acquisition. So is that good for LinkedIn and is it good for me? I mean, it sounds a little creepy that Microsoft's got all my stuff, but what's the upside to all that?
Well, the bad side is Facebook has it too. No. Actually, the good news is Microsoft, I believe, has been a positive effect on LinkedIn because it gives greater brand exposure for your LinkedIn profile. And the Microsoft ecosystem and their partner system is so big, it gives you just more exposure. I believe some of the changes they've made on LinkedIn since the purchase have been amazing. In fact, every week there's usually something new. But since day one, what Microsoft and LinkedIn have been trying to do as a unity is create one place online that is the centerpiece of every business-to-business conversation. And they're on their way. They began that process by changing the way the LinkedIn Message Center works. One of the latest entries happened a couple of months ago when LinkedIn created something called Active Status, the ability to tell when someone is on LinkedIn. They also began doing things called Read Receipts, so you can actually tell when people are engaging with your information. They're trying to create real live B2B conversations on LinkedIn. And it's amazing. And there's some great things coming down the road. In fact, one of the newest features happened about 10 days ago. It's called Nearby. It's on your LinkedIn mobile device. So if you're at a networking event or a trade show and you bring out your LinkedIn mobile app and you push the Nearby button, it will tell you all of your connections or non-connections that are within 100 feet of you. A great way to build new relationships and rekindle other relationships. So yeah, a lot's going on LinkedIn. Very excited about it.
Now that's cool, but LinkedIn is a tactic, right, of a bigger strategy, and the bigger strategy is personal branding, right? So talk about personal branding, why it's important.
Well, believe it or not, we all have a personal brand. That's reality. There's two ways you grow your brand. One is you kind of sit back and let it happen, and that is not the best way. The other way is to be focused on growing your brand. One thing I have to clarify when I do a lot of training is this. Your LinkedIn profile is not your brand. It is only your brand when people believe it. So if you're not hearing your community or your supporters saying your brand back to you, that is not your personal brand. The other thing about your personal brand is this. There's several stages of doing your brand. You got to define what your brand's going to be and develop a strategy to grow it. Those are all building areas. And there's a lot of responsibility there, but the biggest responsibility is still around the corner. That is called delivering on your brand promises. So if I say I'm the LinkedIn guy and I enjoy helping people, I better know LinkedIn and I better be seen helping people. It's really hard to bring on a team to support you in your early stages of brand development. Get your brand built, get people believing that you're the person you say you are, and slack off. It's going to look like the Titanic movie. They're going to bail out on you and they're not coming back. So build your brand, be persistent and consistent in what you do, respect the people who are helping you grow your brand, and deliver for those people.
Now, Greg, if I'm a B2B services provider, particularly, I can see the value in LinkedIn. I mean, if I've got my own business, but if I'm a corporate executive, why do I need to worry about this? I've got a job, I've got a career, I'm doing fine. Why do I need to worry about my personal brand?
Well, the world has changed in the last decade. Back in the early days when I was looking for employment, when you went to interview for a job, there were a couple of factors they kept in mind. One is, what is your experience and training? And what is your education? Well, there's other variables now that people don't talk about that are just as important. One is, how networked are you? And what is your personal brand? So your personal brand has value. In fact, the consumer and the actual future employee of your company have gotten really smart. They don't believe the company message as much as they used to. What do they believe? They believe what the employer says about the company, the employee says about the company, and what the client says about the company. And where are they saying these things about your company? On their personal brand. Talking about executives at major companies, you would probably have noticed that most of your successful public companies who are experiencing tremendous growth right now, they have one thing in common. They have a CEO who has a solid personal brand. So you know who the guy is at Amazon. You see his brand all the time. His brand creates quality employees, increased investment in the company. It brings tremendous value to the company. So moving forward, most of your highly successful companies are going to probably force their CEOs and some of their C-level people to raise their brand because it adds tremendous value to the company.
You're listening to the LinkedIn guy, Greg Burkhalter, here on North Fulton Business Radio here at Digital Ignition. And Greg, some folks would say, well, okay, LinkedIn, making a profile, and how hard can it be? But people make mistakes all the time with their LinkedIn account, don't they? Talk about some of the top mistakes that you see.
Well, first of all, not recognizing the true value of what the LinkedIn profile can do for you. So you got to make sure that your profile represents you well. And what you're trying to do on your LinkedIn profile, what makes it totally different than a resume is one thing. It's emotion. I can make you feel something. I can make you feel something with my words and with my photos. So I'm trying to set up my LinkedIn profile so that when you see my profile, you feel something. Now, something about LinkedIn that's kind of hard for most people to imagine is this. As a general rule, people are not looking for you on LinkedIn. They discover you. And when they discover you, they see three things, usually. Your photo, your name, and the words below your name. And if those three items don't cause them to do one of the following three things, nothing happens. They're either going to try to sell you something, they're going to try to hire you, or they want to try to help you. If none of those three things happen, you have a totally ineffective LinkedIn profile. And also another thing about LinkedIn is this, it's not about you. LinkedIn is not an I channel. LinkedIn is an us channel. It's a community of professionals. So you can do your best by yourself and your personal brand by focusing on helping others, because you're going to need others to help you grow your brand, because you can't grow it by yourself.
I want to ask you about you, Greg. You're a recovering radio guy.
Right.
What got you out of this industry into becoming the LinkedIn guy?
I stumbled into it. As a guy who was not on social media 5 years ago, a friend felt sorry for me and encouraged me to get on LinkedIn. I got on LinkedIn and started doing what I thought I should do. And 1 year into it, I started having people ask me to speak. 2 years into my LinkedIn use, I became the LinkedIn guy. And for the last 3 years, it's been an amazing journey, training people all around America, everyone from an entrepreneur to a major CEO at a company. It's just been incredible, the opportunities I have. But I will tell you that it is all about relationships. Focus on other people. Help others achieve what they want. You can both be successful.
Are your best friends like the Twitter guy and the Facebook guy? Or, I mean, you could have just as easily gone down that path, could you have not?
I've noticed as the LinkedIn guy, I believe the more fine-tuned you can be in what your vehicle is to grow your brand, the better you are at it. And I'm extremely focused on using LinkedIn as my vehicle to do that. I will say, though, with the latest changes to Facebook and what's going on with that whole privacy thing, I have seen LinkedIn's use blow up in the last 4 months. I'm not going to tell you that the use has been effective and been doing well by people. It's still the same scenario. I believe roughly 20% of the people on LinkedIn have a clue what they're doing. But I don't want that to discourage you. That's to encourage you. If you know what you're doing, you get above the noise. And if you build relationships and help other people grow their brand, you will grow your brand on LinkedIn. But if you get on LinkedIn all about yourself, trying to sell yourself and promote yourself, it's not going to happen. You're going to create what I call personal branding suicide. It's going the other direction.
Well, people need to learn this stuff now. So how does it work with you? How do they engage with you? Is it a one-time thing? Do they hire you for an extended period? How do I engage with Greg?
It's all over the board. There's various ways you can get me. You can kind of get a taste of the LinkedIn guy by coming to one of my public events and hearing me talk for 30 or 45 minutes. Then there's other levels where I do more extended training, like a two-hour workshop, which are also public events. Then I do a lot of speaking engagement, keynotes, addresses for corporations, and I have a couple of universities on the way here in the next 3 weeks here. So I'm doing that avenue also. And something new I've started doing more of lately is a lot of digital stuff. I work with individuals and companies all around America. It's just a thrill with the opportunity I have to actually get real deep with someone with a high professional level who is at a juncture in their career where they need, first of all, re-energizing, redirection, and they want somebody to give them hope. I love being that hope because I remember the person that gave me that hope 5 years ago, and I'm giving it back.
You're passing it forward.
Yep. Great stuff. So to sum it up, you're working with individuals and companies, different corporations that do this kind of help offer out your services internally to all their people.
That is correct. And I also do a lot of one-on-one stuff too. One-on-one training, it was the beginning of my business. Then I've gotten more into the corporate stuff. But still, when it comes down to it, there are certain people at such high levels that require that one-on-one attention. And I really am humbled to get down and be able to sit there and spend time with those people for hours, helping do what they need to do.
Most important question of the interview here, Greg, how can people reach out to you and find out more about you if they want to look into your services?
You will not believe this, but there's actually a LinkedIn profile
page. You're on LinkedIn?
I have one.
Really?
Okay. You can go to linkedin.com/IN/Greg Burkhalter to find my LinkedIn page. I have a website, gregburkhalter.com. I would love for you to visit that there. I have some podcasts and some video interviews there. But more importantly, I would love for you to write me a personal note and connect with me on LinkedIn. Nothing would mean more to me than being able to help you grow your brand and become one of your branding partners on LinkedIn.
Then go ahead and spell Greg Burkhalter.
I thought it was Greg. Okay. Greg Burkhalter, G-R-E-G-G. And Burkhalter is B-U-R-K-H-A-L-T-E-R. And if you want to check me out, you can always Google my name or just go to Google and type in the LinkedIn guy. I should be number one in the world.
Awesome.
It works out. Okay.
Great. Wow. Always a pleasure to see you. Thanks for coming in.
So if you're tired of being frustrated and stressed with administrative tasks in your business, Proactive Payroll rocks payroll and provides relief. They handle your payroll needs simply and efficiently, allowing you more time to work on growing your business. They handle tax reporting and payments, direct deposits, benefit and worker comp reporting, and more. They don't just process payrolls, they build relationships. Visit proactivepayroll.rocks or call 404-410-0031. And I think they're on LinkedIn, too. I think Greg would be proud of them.
Well, they're all over the place. In fact, I saw Tom just this past week, Tom Martin, who runs Proactive Payroll, and one of his folks, Ella, I saw this morning. So they're very involved in the community. So always good people over there, Proactive Payroll.
We love them.
All right. Another good person, I believe, just met her, Jackie Davis. She's with Georgia State University Entrepreneurship and Innovation Institute. Jackie, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Well, tell us all about the Entrepreneurship and Innovation Institute at Georgia State.
So the Entrepreneurship and Innovation Institute, we develop student entrepreneurs by blending the education and application of entrepreneurship. We have several academic degree programs in different areas of entrepreneurship, and we host regular courses, events, workshops, guest speakers, and competitions. So one of the differentiating factors of Georgia State's entrepreneurship programs are that we have different entrepreneurship programs. We have one that partners with our Andrew Young School of Policy Studies, and that's focused on social entrepreneurship for those who want to lead in the nonprofit or governmental spaces. We have a program in media entrepreneurship for those students who might be interested in game design, augmented reality, or visual reality. We also have a major and a minor in entrepreneurship, and there's even a biomedical enterprise track for those research scientists who are interested in commercializing their research. All of our courses are open to the entire Georgia State student population. That's different than most universities. Usually entrepreneurship is tied only to the College of Business. However, we have College of Business students in there with art majors, music majors, education majors. Any student can be an entrepreneur. And as you guys well know, entrepreneurship occurs in any industry. So we've modeled our classes off of the Lean Startup methodology. All of our co-curricular activities, which is a large part of what I'm responsible for, really build a community of student entrepreneurs at Georgia State. So we've modeled our programming. We have, you know, 1 to 2 events a week open to students. And we've modeled all that programming off of successful Atlanta area co-working spaces, incubators, and business accelerators.
Now, Jackie, I'm struck by one of the things you just said, which is that the entrepreneurship track is available to all different kinds of students in all different kinds of majors and disciplines.
That's correct.
And I think that's important for, I know I deal at, with clients in my day job with veterinarians, they, for example, you know, medical professionals, those that are in marketing, they come out and maybe they're really great at that particular discipline, but they're not so great at business, right?
That's right.
So it looks like you've got a way to help folks like that.
Yes, we do. That's the main goal of our minor in entrepreneurship. Any major, any student working towards a major at Georgia State can take a minor, which is 5 courses in entrepreneurship, and just tack that on to their skills they're already learning in their industry.
Right. And how to build a business and how to run a business is a totally different mindset than maybe the discipline that they went to Georgia State for.
Yes. And well, we believe that entrepreneurship is more than just starting a business. It's useful to get the core business skills that you need, but also entrepreneurship is a mindset, right? And it can be applied in a range of disciplines. So it's really a way of thinking and acting.
Well, unpack that a little more. So, you said entrepreneurship is a mindset. What does that mean?
Yeah, so we teach our students, their first course is called Entrepreneurial Thinking for Startups. The students take a business idea and form teams around the favorite ideas in the class. And then those students' teams spend, 3 to 4 months of the semester developing that idea all the way to a succinct business pitch. So basically, for us, entrepreneurship is about solving problems regardless of industry and developing unique and innovative solutions for those problems. And then once you found that unique and innovative solution, then you usually have a very good business idea.
We're speaking with Jackie Davis. She's with the Entrepreneurship and Innovation Institute at Georgia State University. Now, you've launched something recently called eHouse. What is eHouse?
So eHouse is a living learning community in the University Commons, which is one of our residence halls on campus. We built the program out about 2 years ago, and I'm excited to say that this year we have 48 beds available in the University Commons. It's an entire floor dedicated to student entrepreneurs. On that floor, the students have a dedicated study lounge with flexible furniture, whiteboard walls, and very cool technology. It's swipe card access only. So think Delta Sky Lounge. In order to get into eHouse, you have to apply. There's no additional cost for those students. It's included with their regular housing cost. And we also host special programming for those eHouse students. So they get the benefit of living, learning, and connecting with other student entrepreneurs or even aspiring entrepreneurs, people who just have an interest and want to see what this whole entrepreneurship bug is all about. We've done different things where we've had guest speakers come and maybe eat pizza in their lounge, just talk with them about what it's like to start a business, pitfalls, successes. We've also taken the students on trips to co-working spaces. We've gone to Switch Yards, which is just two blocks away from our campus, and taken a tour of their facilities, giving the students exposure to what could be when they leave Georgia State, places where they can rent a hot desk or even an office if they're doing well. We've also gone to Atlanta Tech Village for their student to start up internship fair, and students have secured internships with some of their startup companies. So being a part of eHouse is bridging the gap between what goes on in the classroom and also what goes on in the real entrepreneurial ecosystem in Atlanta.
What was all this cool stuff when I was in school?
No kidding.
Holy cow. That's great stuff, Jackie. You talked about how this is unique. A lot of these services you're offering are very unique because it's open to the entire student population at Georgia State, not just the students going to the business school. What about the Atlanta business community? Because I'm sure there's a lot of folks out there listening to this going, man, I want to be a part of this. Do I need to enroll and be a student at Georgia State? How can I participate? Is it open to people within the business community?
Sure. Well, so for people who may want to continue their education, as I mentioned, we have that degree in biomedical enterprise. It is at the master's level. And then also for business folks who might be interested in getting an MBA, we have a concentration in entrepreneurship. And it's focused a little bit more on entrepreneurship, being innovative and entrepreneurial within large organizations. But then also on our campus, we have a Small Business Development Center. It's SBDC is their abbreviation. And they provide consulting, educational training to Atlanta area entrepreneurs. My unit is really focused on the student entrepreneurs. And so business owners or community people who would like help on business plans, marketing strategies, access to capital can visit the SBDC. And I can give you their website if you'd like. It is sbdc.robinson.gsu.edu.
Yeah, that's cool stuff. Now, I'm sure there are people listening out here, though, that maybe Georgia State alumni, local entrepreneurs that want to give back. How do they plug in to help some of your students?
Well, that's natural at Georgia State. We have a lot of organic relationships with the business owners. I mean, Georgia State's location alone, we're part of the fabric of Atlanta's business district. We would love to engage with all of our alumni. As you can imagine, there was no checkbox for entrepreneur graduates at Georgia State until now. So we are trying to desperately find our alumni who want to get involved with our entrepreneurship programs, whether it be as a guest speaker to tell about their business, host a workshop if they are a subject matter expert. We're also developing a mentoring program for our students who are in our business incubation course. And so we're looking for subject matter experts and mentors. We also engage with the business community. Sometimes businesses have problems and they want innovative solutions from someone who's on the outside looking in. And we would welcome those types of projects to bring to our students real world experience, or even local entrepreneurs who want to come and share internships or about their startup. We'll take any contributions, whether it be time, talent, or treasure. And anyone who wants to get involved can reach out to me. Again, my name is Jackie Davis, and my email is jackiedavis@gsu.edu. It's jackiedavis@gsu.edu. And then also, I'd like to just let your followers know they can also follow us on social media. We post regularly all of our events and activities, as well as hot news in the Atlanta startup ecosystem. Our handle on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter is @ENIGSU.
Wow. There is no excuse not to get connected. Multiple ways
we're making
to get connected.
It easy.
Yeah. But before you go real quickly, though, I'd like you to mention briefly, if you would, what you're doing for women entrepreneurs, because you've got some special programs for women entrepreneurs.
Yes, we do. So before my role with the Entrepreneurship and Innovation Institute, we started something at the Robinson College of Business called the Women Lead Center. It actually just had its grand opening last week. And the Women Lead Center was initially a course for undergraduate female entrepreneurs, undergraduate female students who are interested in excelling to leadership positions in corporate, nonprofit, and also the sciences. And so they have a signature experience program that they apply to, and they receive coaching, mentoring, they attend workshops, and they learn about biases that women deal with in business, not just that others put on them, but biases they put on themselves and limitations they put on themselves in the business world. So we've blended my passion for women with my colleagues at the Women Lead Center, and our department, the Entrepreneurship and Innovation Institute, co-hosts with the Women Lead Center a Women in Entrepreneurship panel every fall and spring semester. We have about 250 seats in the auditorium, and every year it sells out. We have students mixed in with entrepreneurs, mixed in with community folks and friends of Georgia State. And we're always looking for women to feature either on that panel or welcome to have those of you interested as a guest as well.
Great stuff, Jackie. And I know you gave the website and everything just a minute ago, but one last time as we wrap things up, the website for people to find out more information about all these great services that the school is offering.
Sure. So the Entrepreneurship and Innovation Institute's website is eni.gsu.edu.
Great stuff. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You know, Mike, another great place for entrepreneurs is Digital Ignition. And Digital Ignition is the ultimate place for entrepreneurs to work, innovate, learn, establish, and grow their companies. Nestled within a 45,000 square foot building is an open floor plan with co-working office space, dedicated desk, private offices, meeting rooms, event space, a classroom, a video recording studio, a fantastic break room with outdoor patio, and all the fresh ground coffee you can drink. If you want great co-working as well as space which impresses investors, customers, and future employees, visit digitalignition.com.
All right, good stuff, John. Our third and final guest on the show is Brad Taylor. He's the founder and CMO of Taylor Built Brands. Welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, Brad, tell us all about Taylor Built Brands, why you started it, and what services your company provides.
So first of all, following Greg and what he had to share about branding and what Jackie shared about entrepreneurship, what a great setup to what I'm about to share. It's a perfect setup, actually. So Taylor Built Brands is a branding, marketing, and sales strategy consultancy based right here in North Fulton County in Roswell. I am the founder and CMO, and the reason I did it, so why did I start Taylor Built Brands? Well, I just retired from this little beverage company down on North Avenue, Coca-Cola Company, after 24 years of sales and marketing leadership positions. And before that, I spent 10 years in the advertising agency business and also with Pizza Hut doing marketing for them. So over those 34 years, I learned a thing or two about branding and marketing and sales strategy. And since I'm too young to just play golf every day of the week, I felt like, wow, I should give some of this knowledge back and help small businesses in the area grow their business. So that's what Taylor Built Brands is, and that's why I started it. I'm thrilled. It gives me a meaningful purpose in life after retirement from Coca-Cola. And I got to tell you, I'm having so much fun. Part of what Greg shared about the whole idea of branding is so critically important. Yes, it's important for your personal brand, but it is everything from a small business perspective. So a lot to be learned and a lot to share about branding and marketing strategies.
Well, let's get into that, Brad. So who is your target customer for Taylor Built Brands?
So I like to think I'm best suited for those small businesses or entrepreneurs who they know they need marketing help, but maybe they don't know where to start or they don't have access to the right resources. So I like to think of myself as a really good, efficient, valuable solution for those small businesses and entrepreneurs. Again, they know they need some help. They're not quite sure where to start. And so I think I can be most beneficial and helpful to those kind of customers.
Okay. So it's all about growing the business. So talk about how you help entrepreneurs grow their business.
So it is all about growing the business. We all know that. So I like to start with really understanding, so what is the long-term business ambition, right? You got to start with the end in mind. So what are you trying to do? And then like to define, so based on that, what is the brand ambition, right? So what's the brand's role in the longer-term business ambition? Then once you understand that, you really start dissecting this into, I call this the brand house, right? So the foundation of the house is that business and brand ambition, right? But then you start looking at the various rooms of the house, right? So you've got to understand the marketplace. What's going on in the marketplace? What's going on with the channel in which you're trying to do business? What's going on with your competitive set? What are they doing that's different than what you're providing? So really understanding the marketplace and the competitive landscape is critically important. Then I also like to focus on the brand itself. What's different, better, and special about the brand versus your competitive set? What's unique about the brand? What equities does the brand have? So really identifying and defining those and articulating that. And then people. People perhaps is the most important aspect of the brand house, right? Because too often, many businesses get in trouble when they try to be all things to all people. And it's really helpful to get very specific on who you think your brand promise is going to be the most meaningful and believable to. And when you focus on that very specific target consumer, it makes everything so much easier because you've gotten that specific. So once you've done the business ambition, the brand ambition, you understand the marketplace, you understand what your brand is different, better, and special at, and you understand exactly who the most important consumer target is for your brand, then you're ready to start thinking about a brand positioning statement, which I like to call the Bible of business, because the brand positioning statement really enables you to get very focused, very specific, and it informs all marketing and sales activity going forward.
Now, one thing I'm curious about here, Brad, is in the show notes here, it says you're an out-of-the-box thinker. It sounds like you're bringing entrepreneurs, you're getting them out of their comfort zone maybe a little bit, right?
I think that's exactly right, but in a nice way, of course.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
I have been called an out-of-the-box thinker. I've also been called a pretty nice guy. I like to do business with people. Right. So, and I know people like to do business with people they like. But yeah, it is about helping entrepreneurs or small business owners kind of help them see beyond the trees, see the forest for the trees, right? Getting outside of your comfort zone, asking some challenging questions that maybe they've never really sat down and thought about, right? Like, who is your most important consumer? And what is your promise? And can you consistently deliver that promise? Those are simple, yet provocative questions that all too often, a lot of businesses, they will jump right into marketing tactics before they really take the time to understand those things. And sometimes they find themselves in trouble. Their business is not growing. New competitors have shown up. And all of a sudden, they don't know what to do because they really haven't defined who they are, and who their most important consumer target is.
We're talking with Brad Taylor with Taylor Built Brands here on North Fulton Business Radio. And now you're starting to talk a little bit about the consulting side, it sounds like, Brad, because folks may just think, okay, branding and marketing, but you do so much more to really help these businesses grow the business side.
Yeah, I'd like to start with this idea of the brand house and building the marketing strategy, right? Because, you know, tactics without a strategy can either, if you're very lucky, get you in the right place. But all too often, tactics without a strategy lead you down the wrong path. But once the strategy piece is tackled, then we start looking at, so what are the right marketing tactics to help you help deliver against the strategy and help you to grow your business? Certainly, social media marketing is critically important in today's, I call it today's connected economy. And so social media marketing is a vastly helpful tool for local businesses and entrepreneurs to build their business by getting very specific and targeting their ideal consumer. You can do that geographically, psychographically, demographically. So buying ads on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn is so easy to do, and it's so easy to get very specific and target exactly and target and reach exactly the right consumer that you're trying to reach. So helping businesses understand that and walking them through the process of they can actually do it themselves. It's that easy.
Yeah. Not only go after that niche, exactly who you're trying to reach. In the old days, we try to reach as many as we could, and you hope a couple would follow up. Now we're going exactly after our customer. And the cool thing is with the social media that you're talking about, Brad, it's not expensive if you do it correctly.
It's not expensive if you do it correctly. It's the most efficient way to reach consumers today because you can get so specific. And the algorithms that are in place with these social media platforms are amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really easy to do.
Now, let's just one quick question, though. Talk to business owners out there that might be interested about how they engage with you. You know, what an engagement with you looks like.
You know, I like to start with understanding what your needs are. And then a free consultation meeting, of course, just to understand what's the challenge, what are the needs, what's going to be involved. For me to help you.
You asking a lot of questions and listening.
Asking a lot of questions and listening, right?
Yeah.
And then after that consultation meeting, then we build a plan, right? So is it working 3 days over the next 2 weeks to articulate the strategy? Is it longer than that? It really depends on what the challenge is. So I'm very flexible. We can work by the hour. We can work by the project. It really just depends on what the challenge and the opportunity is.
As we get close to the end of the interview, Brad, a little birdie asked me to ask you this question. When you're not consulting businesses, what are you spending your time with? You mentioned earlier you can only play so much golf.
Yes, so I'm actually struggling to find time to play golf these days because between consulting and updating my LinkedIn profile that Greg Burkhalter has so adequately trained me to do, I'm constantly on LinkedIn. So you can find me on LinkedIn, of course. So if I'm not consulting or posting helpful articles on LinkedIn or the other social media, another true passion of mine is teaching. So I am teaching classes at Emory this summer. I'll be teaching at KSU this fall. So I'm teaching branding and marketing classes at area colleges and really, really love that.
Gosh, if you only knew someone at Georgia State, you might be able to get in the doors there, you know?
I think I know someone there now.
There you go. All right. Well, for those that would like to find out more, Brad, about your services and your company, where can they get the information?
Yeah. So I invite you to visit me on my website, www.taylorbuiltbrands.com. You can find lots of information about the services I provide there. Also find me on LinkedIn. So Brad Taylor or Taylor Built Brands, either way, you can find me on LinkedIn, Twitter as well. So yeah, check me out.
You know, Greg lights up when everybody talks about their LinkedIn presence. He lights up over here. So
it's cool when all the guests actually listen to each other and, there's interaction there.
Yes, it is.
Well, good stuff. We want to thank all our guests for joining us on the show. Brad Taylor with Taylor Built Brands, Greg Burkhalter, who's the LinkedIn guy, and Jackie Davis with the Entrepreneurship and Innovation Institute at Georgia State University. Before we go, we want to remind you that you can listen to this show or any of our previous shows by going to businessradiox.com, select the North Fulton Studio, and then pick North Fulton Business Radio. Select the show, and you'll see all of the previous episodes. You can listen anytime you want, 24/7.
You can also give us a review. 5 stars, please.
Always.
I mean, doesn't this show deserve a 5-star review? We've had three great guests.
Absolutely. We're also on LinkedIn, Greg. We'd be proud. You'd be proud of us. We're on LinkedIn. We're on Twitter. We're on all the social media, Facebook as well. So check us out there. So, John, great job. I'll see you next time.
Looking forward to it.
And I want to thank our great producer today, me, for doing a good job. I think I only messed up one time.
You're the most modest producer we've got.
Yeah. Well, you know, someone's got to have the title.
That's right.
Until next time, hopefully Trey will be back because we do miss him.
We miss Trey.
I'm Mike, and we'll see you next time right here on North Fulton Business Radio.